Hello, friends, and welcome to the Grove Podcast. My name is Kara, and on behalf of our Grove team, we are honored to bring you another episode today, which is a bit of a double hitter from our last drop. Christine Kane joined us here in Atlanta for a recent Grove gathering, and having personally been in the room, I've got to say, this is the message my soul has been searching for. After all the challenges, the changes, disillusionments, and honestly, the introspection that the last couple years have brought, I'd be surprised if your heart doesn't feel the same thing. As you listen, fair warning, you might need to lace up some sneakers and prepare to take a lap or two. If you've felt stuck recently, get ready to be released. As always, we hope you stick around to the end of this episode when we give you more information, or at least check out the show notes where you can find out more about the Grove and about Christine's ministry. But for right now, we're praying for you as you listen. As Christine says in this talk, it's time to get moving. It's time to bring others alongside us, to get them moving as well, and it's time for all of us to remember Lot's wife. It's all about to make so much sense, guys. So let's dial in together to Christine Kane live at the Grove.
Y'all, it's so good. If you don't know me, I'm Aunt Chris, the cray-cray Aussie aunt that you've all got. And it has been just way too long since I've been with all the chicks. Turn to the woman on your right and say, "You are the best-looking chick I've seen all night." Okay, hang on. Now turn to the woman on your left and say, "You're a better-looking chick than the other chick." I just lie. I love it. Come on, we're going to dive into the Word. The Holy Spirit, He's so in this place. And I just love the fact that the Grove women just come out. Y'all are like just like Jesus addicts, I think, in this place. Like, you just really are. So since I've seen you last, my daughter, my eldest firstborn, has gone to college, which is, you know, you Americans are really weird because I love you for a lot of reasons, but you take a teenager in their most hormonal stage and say, "Why don't you move out of home and move into a room with a whole lot of other hormones and then together try to survive for the next 4 years?" So it's, but she's like loving it and doing absolutely awesome. So she's at Pepperdine, which is over on the West Coast at Overlook. She suffers for Jesus. You need to pray for her because she has to look at Malibu Beach every day. It's just like, "Here I am, Lord, send me to the beach." She's the delight of my life, and my little 15-year-old has gotten bigger, and I feel like just having a good catch-up. But we're going to turn into the Scripture, and I love this. In Luke chapter 17 is where we're going to go. Now, don't freak out, because some of you are going to be like, "Whoa, can we have Shelley again from a few weeks ago?" as I start, because you're going to be like, "This is an interesting text." So go with me to Luke 17, verse 20. Scripture says, "Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, 'The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.' And he said to the disciples, 'The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, "Look there," or "Look here." Do not go out and follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first," everyone say, "but first." I love it. I just want to all hear you speak American. "But first," okay, "but first. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all." You're all so encouraged that you came here tonight. I can feel that. Oh, I can just feel the faith rising in the room. "So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down and take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken out and the other left. I told Nick, I'm not going to be the one left behind. So there will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. And they said to him, where, Lord? And he said to them, where the corpse is, the vultures will gather. So you're all feeling so awesome Monday night. You're going, okay, I thought Halloween was yesterday. Like, what is this? And everyone's freaking out. I mean, here we have a text about eschatology and it's like, oh my gosh, is Christine Kang about to get the charts out? And are we going to start having like a whole lot of end time charts? And Chris, we know it's been a really rough 5 years and the last 18 months has been really rough. Like, are you now pulling out a scripture on eschatology? And are we about to read the signs and the times? And you know, the fact is, I don't really know much about what this is saying, just to make you feel better about yourself. Even after 4 years of Wheaton College, I really don't get it, but I don't feel that bad about that, because this is my whole theory on the end times, is it's going to happen and I don't know when. That's it. Like, it's very deep, but you know, not even Jesus does. So there you go. And so the fact is, the scripture says we don't know. So we really don't need to spend a whole lot of time talking about that. This talks about the kingdom of God, the already, not yet. Jesus is here. Obviously in this text, he's going, hi, the kingdom of God is here, but we know that it's not fully realized. That's about all I really know that is going on here. So I haven't brought you here to talk about the passage on the end times and eschatology. I brought you here to focus on one little verse. Because in the midst of this discourse, in the midst of this unbelievable text about the end time, all we know, really, Jesus is saying, like, you're not going to miss me when I come back. It's not going to be, you're not going to have to wonder about it. This whole sky is going to light up. Everyone is going to know. So don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. Just make sure we're prepared. That's really all this is telling us. Be prepared and it's going to happen. But in the midst of that, Jesus, in verse 32, I mean, this just blows me away. He just drops three little words. Now, this is the second shortest verse in the Bible. The shortest verse in the Bible is what? You're very well educated here in this part. That's it. My kids used to memorize that for when we would do Bible verses competitions. They're like, Mom, I know, Jesus wept. You know, I did all my Bible memorization. But the second shortest verse, I don't know if you knew that, is right here. In Luke 17, 32, and it says, remember Lot's wife. Right in the midst of this eschatological, however you say it, word, discourse, Jesus drops in three little words, very important words. They're in red. Jesus said them. We know those words of red are very important in the scripture. And as I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, remember Lot's wife, I'm thinking there is no other woman in scripture that Jesus tells us to remember. None. Jesus has told us to only remember one woman, Lot's wife. Now, I've been to a lot of women's conferences and a lot of women's events in my life, and I've sat under thousands of sermons. I've not ever heard a sermon about Lot's wife. And yet Jesus told me to remember her. Now, isn't it interesting? I would have thought he would have said, like, remember Eve. You know, I think Eve is probably feeling a bit rejected right now. It's like I came out of the rib, you know? I'm like, I was the first chick. Scholars and theologians spend a lot of time talking about Eve, blaming her really for everything. But anyway, so there's Eve. It's interesting to me. They didn't even tell us to. Jesus never even said, remember Sarah, who was like the mother of the Jewish nation. I mean, I'd be feeling a bit ripped off if I was Sarah. It's like, really? I waited like 90 years. You could tell them to remember me. He doesn't tell us to remember Miriam. And I think Miriam's awesome. I think she's so underrated. Because like when the children of Israel, they were coming out of slavery in Egypt. I mean, Miriam packed a tambourine. I just always think that's hilarious. Like, seriously, we're in the middle of this Exodus and we've got a Red Sea, but I better take a tambourine. You never know if we're going to have a dance party on the other side. Like, it just cracks me up. I'm like, poor Miriam. She's like, why didn't you tell them to remember my tambourine? I mean,
mean, what about Rahab? I mean, lots of people love to talk about it, but Jesus didn't even say to remember her. And she's like, man, I saved like 10 spies. No one would have went into the promised land if it wasn't for me. But Jesus did not tell us to remember Rahab. He didn't tell us to remember Deborah. I'm just going through all the women that we mostly hear about at women's conferences. You know, Deborah. I mean, we know that God only picked Deborah because no man would step up to the job. But, you know, I'm just saying that it's... But Jesus didn't even tell us to remember Deborah. He didn't even tell us to remember Hannah. Such great faith. The mother of Samuel. You're thinking like, okay, it's a prophet's mother. Didn't tell us to remember Elizabeth. I mean, Mary ran to Elizabeth. John the Baptist leapt in her womb. But Jesus is not even like, no, don't remember her. I mean, it's pretty bad. He didn't even tell us to remember his mother. It's a big segment of the church that might be a little bit disappointed with that, but we weren't even told to remember his mother in the midst of this text. Jesus is talking about some pretty heavy stuff. And in the midst of it all, he says, while I'm talking about the end times, while I'm talking about me coming back, I need you to remember Lot's wife. So I started to think, looking at the world we live in, looking at the last 5 years and particularly the last 18 months, I'm like, Jesus, things on the earth are a little bit cray-cray. Why would you want me to be remembering Lot's wife? What do we know about Lot's wife? I mean, there's not much we know about this woman. I mean, she's got the shortest bio in history. What's your bio? Lot's wife. Like, awesome. I mean, she basically appears on the pages of Scripture and disappears. That's about it. And I'm thinking, but why would Jesus, he's not going to waste the real estate here. He hasn't got a whole lot of words in red in these Scriptures. So every word matters. And I'm like, you took up three to tell us, remember Lot's wife. And I wonder if we, the church, have remembered Lot's wife, as we should, because we remember a whole lot of women and they're all worthy and they're all awesome and I've preached about them all. But I haven't remembered Lot's wife. And so I went back and I thought, okay, this nameless woman, Lot's wife. So I go back, of course, like we would, to Genesis to have a look at, okay, what is happening with Lot's wife? And so we know in Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot separated. Now, I want you to see the scripture. I'll just take you through this a little bit. In Genesis chapter 13, verses 12 to 13, Abraham settled in the land of Canaan while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now, the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. So we know after Abraham and Lot separated, Lot went all the way to the edge of Sodom. And so that happened in Genesis 13. Then we go to Genesis 18 and God decides to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of all the evil and all of the iniquity. And now we're all freaking out at the Grove because we've gone like from the end times to Sodom and Gomorrah. You're like, where is Christine going to land this? This is very nerve-wracking. That in the days in which we live, we're bringing up all of the trigger texts just to make you all feel fantastic. And so in the midst of all of that, and then we get to the very problematic, deeply disturbing Genesis 19, where a lot of us just skip over it because it is so disturbing. And of course, Lot has his daughters and the men of the city come wanting to take the angels and Lot offers his daughter. And so messy abuse and pain isn't new. It's through the pages of Scripture. We've lived in a very, very messed up world. So in the midst of all of that, we get there and we see in Genesis 19 that the Lord is like, I am going to rescue. I'm going to rescue Lot. I'm going to rescue his wife. And he goes on, and I want you to see this in Genesis 19. And I'll just read you two verses, 16 and 17. It says here, but he lingered, speaking now of Lot. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand. I mean, they were literally touched by an angel, literally at that point. the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back. Everyone say, do not look back. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills lest you be swept away. Now, I'd be thinking that this, in this moment, if I was Lot or his wife or any one of his kids, I would be listening because this is very supernatural. Angels are coming. They're taking me by the hand. They're leading me out. And if they're only saying one thing to me, then I would listen to that one thing. There's only one thing the angels told them. Don't look back. Don't look back. Because Lot had already lingered and was trying to hold on, and it took an angel to come and take him. And Lot's wife, she did the one thing that the angel of the Lord told her not to do. And you'll see in Genesis 19, 26, but Lot's wife behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back. She did the one thing. Jesus tells me in the New Testament, remember Lot's wife. And the only thing I know about Lot's wife from Scripture is that Lot's wife did the one thing that the angel of the Lord told her not to do. Don't look back. Somewhere she stopped. I don't know what she was longing for. I don't know whether Lot married her. Scholars don't know whether he married her in Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he marry her beforehand and bring her into the place? But whatever it was, she had some kind of life going on here. And whatever it was that was going on, she stopped and she was longing for that thing. And she lingered. And instead of coming out and going forward and moving on into the next phase, God was delivering her. God was rescuing her. She stopped and she looked back. She lingered. She longed for. The scripture says she was longing for what was back there. I wonder in the day and the hour in which we live, how many of us are stuck in a certain place because we're lingering and longing for something that we think is back there, and God's moved us on. God said, we're going on. It's a new day. It's a new hour. It's a new moment. It's time to move forward, but we are longing. Longing for what? I don't know. But we're stuck. Some of us are stuck, and it's 2021, the end of 2021, but we're still stuck in 2019. So much of even our communication is, well, before the pandemic. Before the pandemic, well, that's nice, except we're after the pandemic now. You see it in a lot of what I do when people are, well, you know, with the numbers before. Well, what am I longing for? Because the same God that was with me there is the same God that's with me here, is the same God that is actually going to be here. God is the one that is still in my present and in my future. But while I'm longing for what is back there, then I'm missing what it is that the Lord has for me ahead. You know, this is very important to me. When I dropped Catherine off at Pepperdine and I started to have lots of conversations with so many of the students and the professors, my heart and everything in my life was looking forward. My 19-year-old daughter and her next 4 years, and then my 15-year-old by that time will be starting her college years, and then I'm hoping by then my daughter will be married and give me grandchildren, because I'm already going to be 100 by then. And so I'm like, I'm thinking of my children, my children's children. And I'm like, I can't afford to get stuck here. As a 55-year-old mother, I can't afford to get stuck and long for what was. I can't long for, even in my life, things that I did and have achieved before and who the Lord's reached through our life and ministry before, because that there's no point. What am I longing for? Because my daughter, my children, my children's children are all in the future. And some of us, because we are stuck, what we are doing is abdicating our responsibility to be looking forward, not just for us, but for the generations that are going to come after us. There's been a lot going on in the last 5 years. There's been a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, a lot of loss. There's been a lot of grief. There's been a lot of division. There's been a lot of chaos. There are family members still not talking to each other. There's been so much going on, but we as the church cannot afford to get stuck here, because it's actually not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the mission of God. It's about the purpose of God on this earth. And so we have to remember Lot's wife and not look back. So I wonder today where you might be stuck. In what offense or what division or what disappointment or what discouragement or what disillusionment or what situation? Where somewhere is your body here, but everything about you is longing for something back there. And instead of longing for the future and the Lord, we're longing back here. There ought to be a longing in the church, but we're longing for the wrong things. We're longing for back here when we ought to be longing for our eternal home, for being in the presence of God, longing to cross that finish line, longing to run our race and finish our course. I'm going to use the word, we've warped our desires. See, what happened to Lot's wife is she lingered and longed for what was, and she got stuck. And some of us, our hearts have calcified. They are a metaphorical pillar of salt because of what's happened over the last few years. And we are calcified and hardened and just stuck. And we're numb. We're numb to the purpose of God. We're numb to the mission of God. We're numb to the vision of God. Somehow we've just gotten stuck in whatever it might be. And it's time, and I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that tonight we're going to get unstuck and start moving forward by remembering Lot's wife. See, do you remember? And it's in Luke 24, when Jesus was walking with the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus after Jesus was resurrected. And they're walking back to Emmaus because that's what kind of happens. And here we are post-pandemic. And we have to be very careful that this doesn't happen to us. The resurrected Savior is walking with these disciples, but they are so caught up in their disappointment, so caught up in their disillusionment, so caught up in what had happened that they missed the very fact that Jesus was with them. And so many of us right now in the body of Christ are missing the fact that actually God's gone nowhere. He's right, he's still with us. But many of us, we're just like these two disciples who in Luke 24, 21 said, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. I wonder, we've been in an apocalyptic time over these last few years. And ladies, I wonder whether what God has done, and when I say apocalyptic, I mean that in the true biblical sense, an unveiling, a revealing. But I think what has been unveiled and revealed is the condition of our own hearts. I think that's been the greatest unveiling that has happened over this season, where what really was in us is what the Lord was showing us. And I wonder whether many of us had misplaced hopes that were revealed. So we're here in 2021, and we're walking around and Jesus is with us, but our heads are still down and we can't see the finish line, and we're longing for what was back there because we had hoped. I don't know what you might have hoped. I had hoped that by now I'd be married. I had hoped that by now my marriage would be okay. I had hoped by now I would be healed. I had hoped by now my business would have taken off. I had hoped by now. I don't know, but I wonder whether we misplaced our hopes and we are disappointed and we're looking down and we're longing for what was back because our misplaced hopes have left us disappointed, even though Jesus never left us. Jesus never left us. And what this season, the last 5 years, and particularly these last couple of pandemic years, I wonder how many of us in our heart of hearts, we had hoped. We had hoped. And what's revealed is that rather than anchoring our hope in Jesus, because maybe relationships changed or job situations changed or maybe even living conditions changed, God never said any of those things where our ultimate hope, Jesus is this hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both firm and secure. And so the fact of the matter is maybe our hopes were misplaced, and what has been revealed to us by longing for what was back there is that our ultimate hope was not fully in Jesus Christ. And we feel weary and we feel exhausted. And we feel like, man, something's missing. And Jesus is like, I'm right here. I'm actually right here. And what's been revealed is that we put our hopes in the wrong things. I can't tell you the amount of people in this last year as I've been traveling that have said to me phrases like, Chris, I didn't sign up for this. I'm like, what exactly didn't you sign up for? Because I'm not sure. You see, I'll tell you what I signed up for. I signed up to follow Jesus. I signed up to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. See, I signed up to die to myself, to crucify my flesh, to die daily, to take up my cross and follow Him. Yes, is life tough? Yes. Are there disappointments? Yes. Are there struggles? Yes. Is there suffering? Yes. Yeah, but what big deal? That's called life. And when people are like, I didn't sign up for this, so I'm walking away from Jesus because this is all too tough. I'm like, what did you sign up for? We signed up to follow Jesus. Jesus is why we are in this. We signed up to follow Jesus. So it gets a little bit hard. And we're like, whew, I'm longing. I'm longing for when it was a bit easier. I'm longing for that kind of Christian world that actually really orbited around my life. Because now I'm living in a culture where it's not that cool to be Christian. And now I'm living in a culture where there's no real currency in going to church. It's not that it's going to give me a badge or a promotion at work. And now, you know, man, I have to reorient my desires and my longings and my priorities, where truly to live a Jesus first life is going to cost me. It's going to cost me popularity and culture. It's going to cost me the gratification of my flesh. It's going to cost me pursuing my own desires. And people are like, I didn't sign up for this. I'm like, well, then you signed up for the wrong thing. Because if all it took was a little pandemic to make you lose hope, I'm like, wow. People put more faith in an invisible disease that we can't see. That's very real, but it's invisible. We put so much faith in that, shut down the whole world, then we put faith in an invisible God that we can't see, to actually still be our source of hope in the midst of pain and suffering and trials and tribulations. We had misplaced hope. I wonder whether that's what happened. So we long for something, and whatever it was that she was longing for, it caused her to get stuck. And we're in a place in the body right now, ladies, where it's time to move on. And if we don't make the decision to, we are going to end up like Lot's wife, stopped, stuck, turned into a metaphorical pillar of salt, longing for something when Jesus, our Savior, is right with us here. And He's the one in our finish line. See, what you and I need to do is, you and I need to become prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope. You know, it was so interesting to me. You see in the book of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12, he says, return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today, I declare that I will restore to you double. See, tonight what's got to happen is some of us are going to exchange prison cells. See, I'm not selling you a happy, clappy life. I'm telling you that it's time to exchange one prison for another. And what a lot of us have been stuck in, a prison of anger or offense or bitterness or loss or grief or greed or lust or envy or guile, whatever it might be, or disappointment or discouragement. We've been locked in this prison, longing for something back there, but we need to become prisoners of hope. Now, of course, what happened is after 70 years of exile, the people returned to their land and they found it depleted. Of course, they're in exile, they come back, the children of Israel, the temple's destroyed, the walls are destroyed. They're surrounded by enemies. They thought they were coming back to something that would look awesome. They thought they were coming back to Jerusalem in its former glory, the temple in its former glory, the city strong, and they came back out of exile and after captivity, and the temple is destroyed, the walls are destroyed, they're surrounded by enemies. They had hoped one thing, and they came back to another thing. And some of us have come back post-pandemic. We're like, whew, I had hoped. And it's like, not quite what it was, especially in America over the last, whoa, what's happened? What's happened? And if we're not careful, we're going to get stuck right here. But the prophet speaks to them. He goes, oh, hang on a minute. You were prisoners in Babylon for 70 years. You were exiles and prisoners. So now what you need to do is become prisoners of hope. And of course, for us, New Testament, New Covenant believers, Jesus is this hope. And so I remember when the pandemic first started, I've got someone with me that was on my team at the time, and we called it. So we would do like everyone, you know, you had to go to Zoom, and A21's got, you know, offices in 16 countries, 19 offices in 16 countries. So I would have everyone log in from 19 offices around the world, and we would call it the upper Zoom room. So that's what we did. It's we're in the upper Zoom. And so we would regularly meet. I go, we're going to the upper Zoom, and this is what's going to happen. And I remember saying to our team right from the outset, I said to them, I'm so glad that we're in this state. I'm certainly not glad at all that there was this virus that locked down the world. Of course, I'm not happy about that. But I am happy about the fact that right now, every one of our offices is locked down. Every one of us is at home, no matter what. We 19 cities around the world, 16 countries. Everyone's in the same boat. Okay, we're all prisoners. We're all prisoners. And if you're from Australia, you were really a prisoner, because I mean, like, they still are. And so it's like they forgot about the convict days. We're back there anyway. So the fact of the matter is that you are locked out. You in Atlanta don't really know what that means, but the rest of the world, we do. I'm just letting you know, they're in the rest of the planet, it happened. And I said, and all my team's looking at me, and they're beautiful, wonderful millennials. I love them all. And I said, I do. But I said, this is the deal, because you're about to find out. You're about to find out how much you've been going in the slipstream of Nick and my faith. I know you're so gifted. You're so much better at technology than I am. You all know how to build everything. You're wondering how I even got to this stage with so much lack of knowledge that I have, given based on all the knowledge that you have. Yes, we know all those things. I said, but you're about to discover that you've been eating of the fruit of the seeds that I've sown for the last 35 years, and eating the fruit of someone else's harvest is very different to knowing the Lord of the harvest for yourself. And I said to them, my biggest challenge, and this is why I'm so committed to the Passion Conference, I said, it doesn't really matter how much Christine Kane does. It doesn't matter how many A21 offices we have, or my life, it really doesn't ultimately. Because I would have failed if I end up with a Judges 2:10 kind of life, where it says, after Joshua and his generation died, another generation arose that did not know the Lord, nor the works that he had done for Israel. It doesn't matter. For you and I that are carrying the baton of faith in our generation as women of God, all of us are carrying the baton of faith, whether you're in college, you're in school, whether you're a stay-at-home mother, whether you're a corporate CEO, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, whatever your profession is, an entrepreneur, you're carrying, if you're a Christ follower, you're carrying the baton of faith for the next generation. We would have failed in our generation if another generation arises that does not know the Lord, nor the works that he has done. And so I said to them, the only way you're going to know the Lord is to be in this time of need, where you're going to have to get on your face. You're going to now find out that my life in ministry is not built on my blue check mark on my Instagram profile. You're going to find out that I'm so glad, and God bless you, that you know how to filter my posts and edit my posts and make them all look really pretty. But you're about to find out that there's no Holy Ghost power in that. You're about to find out that the Holy Ghost power comes from the prayer closet on my knees, that I know how to lay a hold of heaven, and I know how to lay a hold of God. And I know the same God that has brought me here is the same God that's going to take me there. And I go, so I'm really relaxed. None of you are.
And then I went round every one of the 19 offices. Will we have an office in the Ukraine at the end of the year? Will we have an office in Bulgaria? Will we have an office in Mexico? I said, and I would go through one by one. I said, well, it's up to you, not me. Because now you're going to learn to exercise your faith. And you'll go, this is the greatest gift that I can give you. The gift of learning how to be a prisoner of hope in the midst of exile, because you better learn this because things have shifted on the earth. And that because things have shifted, you better learn how to lay a hold of God. So the prophet says, let's be a prisoner of hope. And I said, so we're making a decision in this ministry and in our world. The whole world's in lockdown. The whole world's in prison. But we are not going to be prisoners of despair. We're going to be not going to be prisoners of negativity. We are not going to be prisoners of fear. We are not going to be prisoners of doubt. We are not going to be prisoners of insecurity. We're not going to be those kind of prisoners. We're prisoners like everybody else. I'm in the same pandemic as everyone else. I've got to go through exactly the same circumstances as everyone else. God did not airlift me up to Mars on an Elon Musk rocket and say, you can be in Mars and you can sit this one out. I'm on earth with everybody else. But because I'm a prisoner of hope, that means I'm anchored in Jesus, and Jesus is this hope I have as an anchor for my soul, both firm and secure. So while the rest of the world's going cray cray, I don't have to, because I'm a prisoner of hope, and I'm not longing for anything back there, because the same Jesus that was with me back there is the same Jesus that's with me in here. And you're going to get stuck when you long for something. And normally when you're longing for something and you're forgetting that Jesus is with you right now and Jesus is with you in your future, then that longing is an indication of a misplaced hope. And whatever it was that you were hoping was going to happen here, and then you're here and you're bitter because it's like, I'm 40 and not married. And Jesus is like, well, I didn't necessarily say that was in the contract. I told you I'd save you. I told you I'd give you abundant life. I told you that I'm good and I do good and I'm going to work all things together for good. I'm still here. And a lot of us have gotten stuck because we'd hoped. And we look at this last 2-year period and we're like, man, it just messed up everything. And Jesus is like, what did it exactly mess up? I'm God. I can do whatever. And he too, the prophet said, look at this scripture. I'm just going to read you the Bible so you don't think I'm making this stuff up. He says, today I declare that I will restore to you double. So I got all of our staff, a couple of hundred people around the world. And I said, I want you to write on a piece of paper the word double. And I said, I don't care the rest of the world, whatever. This is what we're going to do here. I said, I want you to get that word double and I want you to stick it on your refrigerator because, of course, everyone was home. And so the place they were going to be more than it's either the bathroom or the refrigerator. So it was going to be like that. That's where you're going to be. And I said, I'm believing that when we come out of this pandemic, because we're going to be prisoners of hope, Jesus is this hope we have, that I am believing that we're going to see, I don't know how it's going to happen, especially in March 2020. I had no idea how it was going to happen. But I'm believing that we're going to have double the amount of people rescued. We're going to reach double the amount of people with awareness programs. We're going to see double the amount of traffickers in jail. We're going to see double the amount of sponsors and partners. And guess what? We're at now, by the grace of God, in November 2021, we have never had more victims in our care, survivors in our care, in the history of A21. We have never reached more people in the way that we have, because we remain prisoners of hope. And I could have been longing for how things were, but by sticking with Jesus, we were able to pivot and step into how things are. So the whole experience for my children was different as well, because I'm like, we're going to pivot. And you know, if it's a problem for you, it'll be a problem for them. If it's not a problem for you, it won't be a problem for them. So I'll tell you what you won't hear in my house, and you won't. Fear, doubt, negativity. What we will talk about is the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God. So my kids, guess what they've seen during a global pandemic? Oh, they've seen that God is still good, that God is faithful, that God still will come through, that Abraham, in the midst of it all, the Bible says, against all hope, in what? In hope, he believed. We Christians ought to be a people of hope. We might feel like exiles right now. The world might be cray-cray. Things have changed and shifted so much in every sphere of society, politically, economically, morally, socially, environmentally. The world is cray cray, but guess what? We are here to bring light to the world. We are here to be hope in this world. We were born for this moment. Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. We were born for this.
I'm like, weird. I get up with a smile on my face every day. Going, we were born for this. But Lot's wife longed for something temporal, and she lost sight of the eternal hope while an angel is holding her hand. It's a warning to us all, girls, that we can have God himself holding our hands and still want to look back. And some of us, that's how it's been. God's like, I'm leading you on. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. That is going up in fire. And so much of what was is going up in fire. And that's awesome. If God's letting it burn down, then it needs to burn down. So us longing for it is not going to resurrect it. The resurrection life is with us, in us. So it's forward. Forward. So it means we have to change how we speak. Change how we think about certain things. So my bottom line is, in Isaiah 43:19, the prophet says, behold, I am doing a new thing now. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And I've asked God with all of my heart that tonight you would perceive it. Every one of you here. That tonight you would perceive it, because the Lord, even in the midst of the challenge of the last few years, he's like, I am doing a new thing. God's still sovereign. God's on the throne. It's not like God fell off the throne. Oh, I had no idea a pandemic was coming. Why didn't you tell me, Peter? I'm just like, what are we going to do, Bartholomew? I'm so stressed. God's not having an anxiety attack in heaven. He's not freaking out. He's doing a new thing. He's saying, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness. So it doesn't deny the reality of a wilderness. God can't make a way if there's not a wilderness. He says, I will make a way. That's what I was saying to my team. I go, well, we're primed for God to do something, because I can't make a way for us because I can't get out of the house. I was so excited. My whole team wasn't, but I was so excited, because I'm like, you're going to see my faithful God make a way in the wilderness, because see, I've seen it. I can go to the bank on this because I've seen it. I was so grateful I had my daughters to walk. It was the best discipleship I've ever done. The best discipleship I do for them is not on this stage. It's at home. When we're all living in this pandemic together, and they're like, my parents might be cray-cray, but they really believe what they preach, because look at them. They're living it. And then they're going to have their own stories of the faithfulness of God through the midst of all of this. They're seeing that God has made a way in the wilderness. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So you're feeling like a wilderness? You're feeling like a desert? Well, you're primed, because God says, that's where I'm going to make it. We sing about it and we want God to make a way in the wilderness, except I don't want to be in the wilderness. Can you make rivers in the desert? But I'll just skip the desert. And we're primed. And some of you are feeling dry. And it's time to let those rivers of living water. I'm not saying anything's going to change about the desert or the wilderness. But I am saying everything will change about you in that desert and wilderness. And if you and I do that, all we've done is we've seen in the natural realm in the last couple of years, we've seen what's always been true in the spiritual. We are exiles. We're pilgrims. This is not our home. We're pilgrims on a journey. It just took a shaking for those of us that live, and I put myself in this category because I live in this nation, that live in affluence and live in comfort and live in ease. We've had everything shaken, but then the writer to the Hebrews said, only those things that can be shaken will be shaken. Guess what? So that those things that cannot be shaken shall remain. We have an eternal kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have an eternal king that cannot be shaken. And we're like, whoa, this is awesome. Instead of seeing all this as defeat and it's all over, Jesus is like, are you kidding me? We're just getting started. Just getting started. But don't look back. In the midst of all that's going on, this is the sea. There's no point looking. We're not going back to Kansas, girls. Dorothy, put your shoes away. We're moving forward with the same King, the same faithful God, the same good God, the same kind God, the same gracious God. But we've got a job to do, girls. And what we're waking up now is like, oh, I'm here for a purpose, not just my comfort, not just my ease, not just my security. Somehow we sold out to something that made it seem like if I follow Jesus, it's all about me being safe. As if Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, died on a cross, rose again from the dead just to make me nice and safe. Gag me with a spoon. He did not come to just make us nice and safe. He came to make us dangerous to the kingdom of darkness, that we would establish the light, the life, the hope, the mercy, the goodness of God, that we would declare a message of salvation to a lost and a broken world. Girls, we were born for this. It's awesome. We don't have to fear. Same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of every single one of us that is a Jesus follower. We've been saved and sealed, Ephesians says, until the day of redemption. Sealed. We've all got that stamp and seal of the Holy Spirit of God. So we ought to be looking at this whole time very differently. We shouldn't be like the world, looking back, longing. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus is like, would you look forward? Would you look forward? You know, it's so interesting for us to move forward. Do you remember when the church was birthed in the book of Acts, chapter 2? And, you know, there's that passage and it's like, whoa, the Bible says that they heard a sound like a rushing wind. I love it when the writers... Dr. Luke, he can't find a word to explain it. So it's like, it was like this because I don't know how to explain what it was. It was like a mighty, mighty wind. Saw tongues of fire. Saw like this fire. Like how, I'd love that. Wouldn't I love that at the Grove if I looked out now and there's like all fire all over your heads. It'd be so cool. So cool. I'd love it, but you know, hasn't happened. Anyway, And then it says that, you know, everyone spoke in new languages so the people in the surrounding regions could understand what they were saying. It's just like, wow. But when the church was birthed, you got to understand, the people heard something they'd never heard before. They saw something they'd never seen before. And they spoke words they'd never spoken before. And we don't need to be like the rest of the world, just echoing the fear and negativity and the division and the chaos of the world, saying what everyone else is saying, hearing what everyone else is hearing on Facebook, and just, you know, saying the same sort of things and seeing what everyone else is seeing. No, no, no. We need to get into our prayer closets and we need to hear through the Word of God, the voice of God. We need to hear from heaven. We need to be hearing things people are not hearing, but that are in God's Word. We need to be seeing a future that Jesus is at the center of that future so that we can say what no one else is saying. While everyone else is talking about fear, everyone else is talking about doubt, everyone else is talking about insecurity and negativity and division and chaos and anger, we can be a people of hope, a people that are declaring and decreeing the goodness of our wonderful God, that are telling people there is a salvation plan for this world. Finally, our world is getting ready to hear. Because most people never thought they needed saving. But whew, the last couple of years have showed us anything is that you can get the best minds in the world on one problem and they can't solve it. So maybe we need God. Maybe people are realizing, whew, I need someone a little bit bigger than even the best minds on earth. We need someone, a savior. The world's getting ready to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't been ready for a long time because they just think, we're just fine without Him, thanks. And are we going to be bearers of that good news? And it will only happen if you drop your if only. That's what I'm asking you tonight. Will you drop your if only? Some of you, would you drop your if only the pandemic had not happened? Man, if only I didn't get divorced. If only my kids didn't go off the rails. Man, if only my business didn't go under. Man, if only I was married. I don't know what your if only is that has gotten you stuck. But to move forward, we've got to drop our if onlys. Because the if only thing is not the thing that's going to complete you. Jesus, Paul writes in Philippians, for I'm convinced of this very thing, that He, Jesus, who started this great work of salvation in you, guess what? He, Jesus, will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus started it. Jesus will finish it. It always was Jesus. It always will be Jesus. So tonight, my prayer is that as we leave the Grove, that we will drop our if-onlys, that we will remember Lot's wife. We won't look back. We won't look back. So I don't know what you need to let go of. Some of you, the past, failures, mistakes. Some of you, even as I'm talking, you're cringing because you're like, man, if only I hadn't written all those things on Facebook. Probably everyone needs to go and delete their whole account and start again, but you know. But there's redemption there too. There's forgiveness there too. You might have been an idiot for the last 2 years. Just stop being an idiot from today. Just stop. Because what we're going to discover is we all need grace. Let's not cancel each other because we really need each other. We really need each other, like we really do. And so, I don't know. Some of you, you've been procrastinating. Some of you, I don't know if you're watching me online, I forgot to check, but if you are and you should be in the room, you know what? It's just time to get back to church. It's just time. It's just time to go the drawing the line. I'm not looking back anymore. I'm not longing. I'm not hoping that this pre-2019 world comes back. Jesus, I'm going to trust you. On the road to the Emmaus, they're like, we had hoped. And Jesus, imagine how he feels. This is how I think he must feel with some of us in the church. He's like, I'm here. While you're all longing for what was, I'm actually right here. And if we would just lift our heads, instead of looking back, instead of looking down, this is why we've got to be in these environments, so we can lift our heads and worship King Jesus. And suddenly you go, oh, surely my heart was warmed. Surely, I realize you're still here. And because you're still here, I actually don't need all the things that I thought I needed back there. I actually can let go of the disappointments, and I can actually let go of the discouragement. I can let go of all of those things because Jesus, you're still here, and I've sung 1,000 songs. You're all I need. Well, here I am. Here I am. Can we be prisoners of hope in exile, church? Can we? I wonder. Let me tell you these two verses out of the New Living Translation. I love it. In Exodus, I want to say this because I know it's 2021, but I want you to know we're not the first generation of Jesus followers. And of course the children of Israel were not following Jesus, but they were on the way. They're before us. But we're not the first people of God that were at this crossroad. That's why we've got to remember Lot's wife. But in Exodus 14, I love that Israel was leaving Egypt, remember, under the leadership of Moses. They looked back, they saw Pharaoh coming. That's what some of you are freaking out, because you're looking back and you're seeing a Pharaoh and you're like, oh my gosh, they're coming after me. It's all over. But God had already told Moses, I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to make a way. All they could see though was a Red Sea in front of them and a Pharaoh behind them. And some of you, that's what you're feeling right in this moment as we're coming out of this season. And you're still like, man, all I feel like is the Pharaoh might be there, whatever your Pharaoh might be. And all I still see is that I'm not into whatever the next thing is because there's a Red Sea in front of me. We're not the first people there. And some of you keep scrolling through your enemies on social media. You keep looking back at whatever it is, that thing that you're fearing. And this is what the Lord said. I love this. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you? Because Moses went to complain to God to go, are you serious right now? All of these murmuring, grumbling people, God, you set us up. And I love what the Lord says. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. So why have I come to the Grove tonight? Because, you know, we're in a long line. The Lord said that to Moses, and I feel like right now my job is to go to the people of God. I love the women of God with the passion. I'm like, girls, it's time to get moving. It's time to not look back, and it's time to get moving. The Lord said it again to Joshua in Deuteronomy 1, 6 and 7. He says, Joshua, when we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. It is time to break camp and move on. It's time to break camp and move on. It's time to move on. Tell the people to get moving. Tell the people to remember Lot's wife. Tell the women of God that it's time that you stop looking back. It's time to get unstuck. It's yes, I know it's been hard. I know it was hard in 2016. I know it was hard in 2017. I know it was hard in 2018. I know it was hard in 2019. I know it went to new levels in 2020, and 2021 has been challenging. But God's saying, it's time to move on. Don't look back. It's time to get up, get moving. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. We've got kingdom work to do. We've got kingdom advancement to do. We've got to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and a broken world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. Jesus Christ living in us is the hope of the world. So girls, let's make a decision. We are going to be prisoners of hope, not prisoners of despair, not prisoners of fear, not prisoners of doubt, not prisoners of division, not prisoners of unkindness, but we are going to be prisoners of hope. Why? Because Jesus Christ is this hope we have, both firm and secure. He is our anchor for our soul. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife.
Wow, I'm sure you will agree that after that, I think we'll all remember Lot's wife for a really long time. On the night that this talk was recorded, Christine gave an invitation to anyone who needed to address the spiritual condition of their heart. And we don't want to move on from this moment with you without offering the same opportunity. We believe that putting Jesus Christ first in your life is the greatest decision that we can possibly make. And it makes all of the freedom and the future and the hope possible that Christine has spoken to in this message. We also believe that you hearing this message today is part of the divine planning and purpose of God in your life. You might know Jesus already, but you've been looking back for too long. And in that case, it could be time for you to stop running from Him and to come home to Jesus. We want you to remember that there's nothing that you've done, nothing that you have said or even thought that could separate you from the love of God. And so right now, we want to invite you to make those important steps of reconciling your heart to God. You can't move on without taking the first fundamental step of yielding your life to Jesus. So if that's you, whether you're saying yes to Jesus now for the first time or you're coming back home to Him, we want to help you take that step. Our team at Passion City Church is available to you. If you want to simply text the word ALIVE to 33864, it would be our honor to connect with you, to help lead you in praying and receiving the gift of Jesus into your life, or just addressing your next steps from here. This is, above all, the greatest gift and honor to our team. Thank you for holding on. Thank you for being courageous enough to commit to looking forward today. We are with you and we are for you, but most importantly, we know that Jesus is with you, He's for you, and He will never let you down or leave you behind. So one more time, if you want to speak with someone from our team, we would love to speak with you. Just text the word ALIVE to the number 33864. You can also learn more about Christine's ministry and resources at christinecain.com. And you can keep up with what's going on at The Grove by visiting thegroveonline.com. All this information and more is found in our show notes, so check that out. And for today, just remember Lot's wife. Remember that you are loved and remember that Jesus is for you. Have a great day. Share this episode with a friend and join us back here next time for The Grove Podcast.